Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to Sheer Crime. I'm Kenzie.
And I'm Amy.
This week, we are covering episode 3 from the Accused series on Hulu called One Punch Assault or Self-Defense. Brandon Joyner was just a normal, good-hearted kid when he and his friends came upon their neighbors getting into an altercation. Brandon was able to get video evidence of his neighbor beating up his disabled son-in-law. Wanting to help, he walks over to defuse the situation, but fearing for his own safety, throws a punch that lands his neighbor knocked out on the ground. The one-punch assault not only ended the fight, but David Turner's life was changed forever. Now his family thinks Brandon deserves 20 years in prison over it. Was this done maliciously, or was it truly just self-defense? Hello, Amy.
Hello.
God, I feel like it's been forever.
No, it has. My husband even asked me. He's like, when was the last time Kenzie was here? I'm like, I don't know, 2021?
Yeah. Sometime in 2021.
Sometime last year. So lame. I hate that joke, but I had to.
Do you ever see those memes of that kid with like the weird face?
Because yeah, someone's like,
Where it's like the week before. Yeah. See you next year.
Oh, my daughter did that to me that night. She's just like, ugh, I'm about to say the stupidest thing ever, Mom. See you next year. Like, okay, go to sleep.
Oh gosh, yes, we had to do a lot of catching up before we started recording.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's been nuts. It has been crazy. There are going to be some things going on here coming up on the podcast. We will most likely be taking about a month off from recording. I'll actually be traveling for about a month. So yeah. I'm not really going to be here. We're going to try and do as much as we can. We want to try and record again next week. So then you'll still have a few weeks here and there of episodes.
Yeah.
But we won't probably be able to record for around a month or so.
Yeah.
I mean, we might. Who knows? We might still be able to get something in. But just wanted to make you guys aware that's kind of been going on.
Yeah. It's a very busy time for, well, you.
Yes. Yes. It'll end, though. So that's good.
Yeah.
A lot of my busyness is going to be coming to an end after I get back from vacation. So that's good. Hopefully we can get back on track. I mean, honestly, anyone who's looking to help us, let us know. We might need help with posting on social media. It might be little things here or there. Any help that we could get would be much appreciated because we're hoping that we can start doing weekly episodes again.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, is that back when we were doing weekly episodes, we had somebody who we paid for editing.
We did.
And recently, when did we stop doing that? Back in September?
It was right before Gabriel came.
Okay. When we stopped paying for editing because, well, money got tight for both of us.
Yep.
And you started editing all of it, which is great, except it's very time consuming.
It is.
Which is why we haven't been able to go back up to weekly episodes.
Yes, because not only do I have the editing afterwards, but then we have, you know, the pre-recording notes that we have to take that can take hours as well.
Right.
So it's not ideal. It's not what we want for this podcast, but it is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard when you have families and you have jobs and you have all this other stuff going on.
And you're doing it all yourself.
Yes. And you're doing it all yourself with your own money. I mean, we're not making money for this podcast, obviously.
Not a dime.
But any help, any even suggestions that anyone has would be greatly appreciated because we really do want to get back to a more normal weekly episode release that is how it used to be because we want to get back to that point. And hopefully this year we'll be able to do that. So
I have faith.
Me too.
It's just going to be a little bit, it's not going to happen right now.
Right. Exactly. And I think after we take this month off, I think it'll be really rejuvenating to like just not think about it at all for a little bit.
Right.
I think it'll be good for both of us and then we can come back and, you know, hit the road running. So just so you guys are aware, we don't want to like leave you in the dark and be like, oh, well, see you later. We're going to be gone. It'll just be for around a month or so while I'm out in the world. Flying all over the globe. But yes, we'll be back and we'll figure out our game plan from there.
Yeah.
Now, today, I brought over our favorite wine, Roscato, yes. because this is from when I did the DoorDash delivery for the wine.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, oh my gosh, we haven't opened this yet. Because me and Jared are actually, we're trying to do like no drink January.
Why?
But I'm like, I'm trying to get in shape.
Oh,
because I'm going to be in a bikini for the next month. And I was like, and I need my body looking a little bit better than it was. And beer, I like beer. And
beer is your problem.
Beer is
wine
my problem.
Wine doesn't do that.
No. And I was like, and it doesn't count on recording nights. This is a part of my passion and my hobby. So like, doesn't count. We're in our own little bubble here.
Yeah, no. What happens in Kaylin's bedroom while recording stays in Kaylin's bedroom while recording.
Exactly. Exactly. So we are very excited. We'll probably be drinking a lot of our Roscato today, which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
To that, let's cheers.
All right.
So good. And I had to put it in the fridge beforehand because it was warm.
Yeah.
It's like, gotta have it cold.
Oh, yeah.
So good cold.
Oh.
Perfect.
So the liquor store here in Cottage Grove, like right over here.
Yeah.
Yep. They do have this, by the way.
Yeah.
So I ordered, we were having Christmas here for Danny's family. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna like, I'm the hostess, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna buy three large bottles of wine and I'm just gonna have like, I'm gonna make a punch. I had everything planned.
Love it.
No, I don't ever go to the liquor store. So I spent like $50 in wine.
Yep.
Did we even open any of them that night? The answer is no.
Right.
Because his family all showed up with their own wine. And I'm like, well, this is stupid.
We needed to communicate a little better.
I have two. When I say large bottles of wine.
Oh, they're probably the biggest ones you can buy.
The biggest bottles of wine
you
can find upstairs. And one of these.
Love it. Love it.
So there is no dry January for me.
I mean, I've been breaking the rules here or there, but I think it's just like we're kind of like staying home. We're saving a little bit more money. I mean, when you're planning trips, though, there's stuff you have to buy. So we've been buying shit on Amazon that we normally don't buy, you know.
But you're not like going out and spending it like on food.
Yes.
Per se. Right.
Right. Exactly. So that's kind of what we're doing. But without further ado, if you want to start us off today on this episode, that would be great.
All right. So this episode is called One Punch Assault. And in the beginning of the episode, we meet Steve Hisker. Now, he is the defense attorney for the accused Brandon Joyner. He says that he's representing Brandon, a 22-year-old who's been charged with assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature. Now, Brandon actually witnessed his neighbor, Mr. David Turner, who we will just refer to as either Turner or Mr. Turner, beating up his son-in-law, Christopher Keynes, who is a disabled individual. Brandon felt that he needed to intervene, and he did.
As most people would.
I mean, literally.
And this was a well-known fact in their neighborhood that Mr. Keynes was a disabled person.
Yes. Everybody knew of him. Even Brandon's friends who hung out in the neighborhood knew of this guy. Now, he is referred to at times as New York. That was like his nickname.
Yep.
So if we ever, because I may slip and call him New York throughout here. New York is Christopher Keynes. New York is our disabled son-in-law who was being beat up by Mr. Turner. Now, Brandon says it's a very close, kind of tight-knit neighborhood. There's only a few houses between him and Mr. Turner's house. Now, Mr. Turner was known to be a belligerent man and was often highly intoxicated and picking fights with the neighbors. On this evening, he had started cursing at Brandon when Brandon came up to their yard to find out what was happening to New York.
Right.
Immediately, Brandon feels threatened that Mr. Turner is up in his face. I mean, think about being near a drunk.
Yeah.
Who is just in the mood to fight, right? I mean,
doesn't care who he's getting in a fight with.
Doesn't care.
Right.
And you've all met these people.
Yes,
right?
For
you
sure.
All know this. You've all seen it. It is unfortunately way too common.
Yeah.
People get that liquid courage and they do not fucking back down. And suddenly, even if they are the smallest of people, they are the biggest and loudest and they will fight the biggest person in the room, right?
Yeah. And I think they actually think in their drunk mind that they can take them.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like they have so much strength and power.
Yep.
because of this liquid courage that they've got, right?
Yep. So Brandon feels threatened at this moment and ends up punching Mr. Turner one time in the face. Mr. Turner falls down, hits the back of his head when he lands on the ground, and actually suffers some really serious brain damage.
We actually see the police body cam footage. So the police get there and they walk up to Mr. Turner. He looked dead to me.
He looked so out of it.
Oh, like, my gosh. It was terrifying.
Kind of hanging open. I mean, he looked like he was fucked up.
Yeah. Like out cold completely.
But drunk and out cold.
It kind of freaked me out. I was not prepared to see that because, like we talked about, I think it was last week's episode, just the thought of seeing a dead body.
Yeah.
It's not the way that you'd probably assume it would be, like eyes closed, mouth closed, that kind of thing.
No, his eyes were like half rolled into his head, but open.
Yeah.
And his mouth was open. Like you could just tell if he was going to say something, it was not going to be coherent.
No, not at all.
Right. We get some on-screen text that says David Turner suffered life-changing brain damage and he lost the ability to talk. Now, Brandon, at this moment, had just witnessed David Turner beating his son-in-law to the ground. Someone who'd had a stroke and was severely disabled as it was.
Exactly.
So, Christopher Kanes, a.k.a. New York, a.k.a. son-in-law to David Turner, was a stroke victim. And could barely walk on his own and couldn't talk.
Why did Mr. Turner constantly get in fights with him? It doesn't even make sense.
Because he was a drunk. My guess is somehow New York pissed him off before he became a stroke victim.
Must have been something in the past because it's so weird. They even say that this happened on a regular basis between Mr. Turner and his son-in-law.
Yeah.
Where he's verbally abusing him and physically abusing him.
Yeah.
And people have seen it. There's been many witnesses
to it. The whole neighborhood.
It's so weird.
It's super weird.
And it's sad. It's really fucking sad.
Well, yeah. I mean, now we don't know what kind of a person Mr. Kanes was, but still. Like, really, Turner? You can't pick on someone your own... I don't know, your own size, your own mentally capable. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. No, I know exactly what you mean. You're
literally picking on somebody who is too weak to defend themselves.
And maybe that's why he did it too. Well. Right? Because he knew he could take him. You know what I mean? That could be it too. I don't know. I didn't understand that. It wasn't a one-time thing. Like this happened often.
Well, and I have a bit of a theory. So later on, we find out that Brandon is about 10 inches taller than Mr. Turner, which makes him approximately 5'6"
Yep.
As a grown man.
Right.
I'm just going to let that sit with you for a second.
Well, and we see him
too. We know all about small man syndrome.
Yes. And when we see him on the ground, when he's knocked out, he doesn't look like a big man.
Nope.
He doesn't have muscle. You know,
he's not jacked.
No, not at all. He's just an average looking guy. Like he's just very average. Nothing stands out.
A chihuahua of a person.
Yes, for sure.
Loud and obnoxious.
Yes.
And deserving of being curb stomped. Sorry if you're a Chihuahua fan.
We'll tell you more about Mr. Turner, but he just gets worse and worse as it goes on. And his family, too. I mean, like, they are sketchy ass people.
Yeah.
It's just wait and see.
Yeah. So our defense attorney, Steve, is telling us all about this situation. And he goes on to say, quote, I would have done the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So he is 110% behind Brandon. He says that the state believes that Brandon committed an assault without justification. Like just walked up, punched him, no fucking rhyme or reason.
Why would he do that? That doesn't even make sense. Like there has to be something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like a child. Well, I guess he wasn't a child anymore. He was 20 years old. But he has a mentality of a child still.
Yes, he does.
You know, like, why would he just go up to an adult to punch him for no reason?
Right.
It does not make sense.
No, it doesn't. Now, Steve, of course, believes that Brandon acted in self-defense of a disabled person. But for this one punch, he is facing up to 20 years in prison.
Oh, my God.
That's a long fucking time.
It's nuts to me.
It's nuts.
There's people that have murdered people and
only
not,
get 25.
Or don't even get 20.
Right.
There's people that have gotten less.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because they got charged with second degree murder or whatever. And this kid throws one punch and is facing up to 20 years. There's something wrong with the system here. That's not the same. It should not be looked at the same.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yes.
Some more on-screen text says that Brandon Joyner is currently out on a $4,500 bond. Now we meet Brandon. He says that he considered himself a typical American kid. He likes to hang out with his friends, go to movies, go bowling. You see him playing basketball with his friends in the park. I mean, he has a job, but he's also a college student. He says he does not feel like he's guilty because he, quote, had to do what I had to do to protect myself and someone else, end quote. Can we have more teenage boys like right. this kid? Can we have more?
Or just people in general that yeah. want to step up and help people, you know?
Because a lot of
people
times,
stand around.
Yeah, think about how many times people just whip out a phone and record yep. the shit and don't fucking step in.
Right.
When they could. Now, I know, like, you shouldn't always insert yourself in other people's business. However, if that business is in fucking public,
right.
step in.
Right.
Step in. I'm just saying.
I agree, though. I mean, because you see all these videos and you almost feel like they're doing these videos to get the fame, right? Mm-hmm. Social media fame, whatever, YouTube fame, because they know it's going to get a lot of views.
Yep.
But shouldn't that also be something that's like, should they be liable for something then? Because they should have done something.
I feel like it, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just standing there. They're watching this happen, whatever it may be. And they just want to videotape it, but not do something about it. Again, it would vary between the circumstances. If someone had a gun or someone had,
right,
you know, that kind of thing where you could physically get hurt, shot, killed, whatever, that would be a little bit different. Obviously, you'd want police or law enforcement or something to kind of help you out there. But there's a lot of things
that
should not be tolerated.
Serious. Right.
You know, and they are.
Yep.
It's horrible.
It is. Now, at this point, we're 5 weeks to trial. Brandon and his dad, Lewis, go to visit their attorney to go over the facts and the charges together as a group so they know exactly what's going on. Brandon tells us about that night. He says that it was his birthday and that he had been outside talking with his friends. He says that he sees Mr. Turner push New York through a screen door and New York ends up falling on his head and down the front steps. Again, New York is Christopher Kane's. Brandon says he walks over to help him up when Turner gets confrontational and is screaming in their faces. Brandon got scared and threw his one punch. The punch was used as a means to kind of get him to back off.
And it could have been a reaction.
100%.
Like, you're terrified. This guy, we have no idea the kind of force that Mr. Turner was bringing upon him or the words he was saying or the way he was holding his body. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It could have literally been a reaction because he didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
He was scared. He didn't know if maybe he had a knife or something else that could hurt him. You never know. It seems like it happened in a split second. And it did.
Yep.
It was so quick. And I think Brandon was even shocked by it. I don't even think he realized he was doing it when he was doing it.
Right. No, I think it was more
it's
of a
so
reflex.
Apparent. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about this too. If Brandon grew up in this house, let's say, and Mr. Turner lived there this whole time too, there was a solid possibility that Brandon grew up as this guy kind of being the scary guy in the neighborhood.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden he's like grown, but he's not grown, you know?
Yep.
I mean, he was a boy, so he's like, what, 10 years behind
yeah.
any of his female counterparts?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you could just imagine the little bit of like fear and anxiety that was probably just around him in general anytime Mr. Turner was outside his house.
Right. And Brandon was not the only person that saw that side of Mr. Turner.
No.
All of his friends saw it. There's multiple people that said this guy wasn't a great guy.
And he was doing this a lot.
Yes. This was not a one-time occurrence. This happened often. He constantly got into fights with people. He was just a mean person.
Now, again, Steve, his attorney, believes that Brandon did the right thing morally and legally. He says that it's more of like an all-in self-defense. In South Carolina, with self-defense and the defense of others, whether it's for yourself or you're stepping in to help someone else. Basically, he's saying, we obviously can't promise an outcome if this goes to trial because he is facing up to 20 years. But he's going to do everything he can to try to make sure that the jury sees this is not just some kid walking up and knocking the fuck out of some old guy.
Yeah.
And rendering him useless the rest of his life. I mean, that's to say that he was useful prior to that.
Right, right.
Some more on-screen text comes on that says Brandon lives at home with his parents, Lewis and Wanda Joyner, and today family members are visiting. So we kind of see some footage of them having dinner together, and we meet Wanda, his mom, and she says that Brandon is such a goofy kid. She says that, you know, she'll yell at him, but smile at him in the same breath. And I'm like, huh, same, same, mama, I got it. My kid makes me so mad, and yet she's fucking funny at the same time.
Yeah.
That I can't help it. She says that Brandon has never been in trouble before and that he was just trying to be a good Samaritan, and unfortunately it backfired on him. She says that she tries to hide her tears and tries to assure him at every moment that it will all be okay, but she doesn't really know what's going to happen, and the unknown is pretty much torturous to her.
Especially since he's so young.
So young.
Think about it. The prime of his life from 20 to 40 could be over.
It's fucking awful.
Like, thankfully, if the outcome was the worst of the worst, he would still get out and be able to live some sort of a life. But how hard would it be for him to get a job?
Right.
Convicted. Felon.
Yep.
20 years in prison. Maybe he gets out a little early. How do you...
bounce back?
Yes.
Or even start a life.
How do you start over and become a person in society?
Yeah.
And how do you do that alone? You can't. You typically have to live with family members, parents, whatever it is.
And who's to say your parents are still there when you get out?
Right. I mean, it's just, I couldn't imagine as a mother knowing that one of my kids could miss out on 20 years of his life and 20 years of the best part of his life. You know what I mean? Some of the best years are when you're 20 to 40. I mean, yes, you have good years.
Too, I'm going
to
say it's past 20. But
but yeah. I mean, when you're retired too, that's a good time because you don't work and stuff like that. But like when you're still young and youthful and you can do whatever you want, literally.
It's all about those life experiences. And if he's losing out on 20 years of them, that's a lot of living.
And I feel like he's still so young that he doesn't even understand fully and comprehend what he will be missing.
Yeah, who could? Right?
Crazy.
We're now 4 weeks to trial, and we find out with some on-screen text that Brandon's attorney, Steve, has hired ex-police officer Carlisle McNair to help with this case. Also, coolest, like, cop name ever.
I know.
We see this meeting between Steve and Carlisle, and he's asking, you know, what kind of disability did Christopher Kanes have? And Steve explains that he's a stroke victim and that he couldn't even defend himself. He says that Brandon had actually recorded part of this on his phone. So they did have some footage. So they start rolling the footage. And it's very, very hard to see because it's nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
But you do hear Mr. Turner being belligerent and saying, quote, "I will fuck the motherfucker up," end quote. And like really aggressively saying,
oh, yeah.
Like he's pissed.
Yep.
And at this point, Brandon stops recording and goes over to help. And I put, holy shit, what a concept. You put down the phone to go do something. And at the same time, Carlisle like is almost like beside himself. He's like, that's amazing. Most people don't stop recording to go help. They just keep rolling camera.
I wish he would have like handed the recording over to his friend.
That would have been perfect.
You know what I mean? Like keep it on so like everything could have been captured. But of course, that's not the world we're living in, but still.
Well, and it's just so like, I mean, it's all in the moment, right? Like he probably had no idea that this was going to go the way that it did.
Hindsight's 20/20.
It truly is. Now, again, we see that body cam footage from that first police officer that was on the scene. And it's that close up of Mr. Turner on the ground, really out of it. His wife is crying and asking why Brandon had hit him in the face. Was she drinking too? I mean, was she not there?
Yeah, they didn't say whether or not she was outside. Like, if their whole family was outside when this altercation happened.
It didn't appear to be.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I thought it was just an altercation between them two because they never brought it up. But then we see his wife completely beside herself. Like, losing her mind.
Yeah. Well, and that's after the police showed up.
Right.
So let's, of course, you know, who called the police? I mean, my guess is maybe she came out right as he hit the floor. You know, we don't know. They don't really specify. But basically what else we see is that Christopher Kanes is sitting basically in like the front seat of a vehicle, right? We don't really know whose vehicle. But Brandon had actually helped him get over there after picking him up off the ground. And in the footage, you can hear somebody saying that he can't speak because he is disabled. He can't talk mm-hmm. for himself. We also find out, which was really fucking sad, that shortly after the assault, Christopher Keynes actually passes away.
Yes.
So, like, he didn't even live very long afterwards.
No.
Now, he didn't look like he was hurt, but again, like, who knows,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, he's sitting in a vehicle awake.
I mean, it's seeing him, it's just so sad to think that someone would be bullying him like that. To me, he looked like a child almost. And he's not. He's a grown-ass man.
Well, but a grown-ass man is Brandon, too, who's only 20.
Right. But you could tell he's much older, I mean, than Brandon is. But he looks like he can't defend himself.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks so defenseless and, like, he didn't even know what was going on. It seemed like he was, like, completely out of it. That is so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That drives me nuts when people take advantage of people's disabilities or niceness or their stature or whatever it may be to make themselves feel better. Honestly, I think Mr. Turner got what he deserved. To be completely
100%.
Honest. Like, if you're going to be a shitty person, karma's going to come back at you at some point.
Yep. You know? In this case, it just came back to you in the form of a fist from a 20-year-old boy.
And the way that you landed on the ground or the way you hit the vehicle when you were going down.
Right.
It totally fucked up something in your brain.
And don't tell me that your brain wasn't already semi-fucked up.
Because
that hit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, there was probably years and years and years of alcoholism ravaging his brain to begin with. For that one little pop to just send it all off course. I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
But not sorry.
I agree.
Now, what we do find out, which is interesting, is that so New York passes away after this altercation, but no investigation was done as to whether Turner's assault on him could have had anything to do with it.
See, I don't understand why that shit doesn't get looked at. Come on. You can easily look at the file and see that they're connected.
Right.
And it wasn't too long after. There are so many mistakes made by law enforcement in all of this. So it doesn't surprise me that much, but I feel like it happens in so many cases.
Well, yeah.
Do the work. Do all the work. Don't skip over anything. That's when killers go free. People get away with shit they shouldn't. People don't get held accountable for what they did. All this shit starts happening.
Yeah.
You know?
It's ridiculous.
I know.
It's ridiculous. Okay, here's the thing. Police officers, if you don't want to do all the investigation, hire two fucking white chicks with a podcast. We will do all of the investigating for you, and we will connect the dots. All you have to do is go arrest the motherfucker, okay? Done?
Yeah.
Resume ready? We'll send it out.
Ready to go. It's already
ready
printed.
And right. Printed and mailed. Now, in this video footage from the police officer, they're asking Mrs. Turner, who did this? And of course, she points out Brandon's house, which is right down the street. With the police cam footage, the police walk over to Brandon's house and Brandon actually answers the door. Brandon starts giving names of all of the independent witnesses and a written statement that night. Shocker. Police do not interview a single one of them.
How is that even a thing? You interview every witness.
Right.
That is literally the first thing you do in any investigation.
That is police investigating 101.
The first thing you do is find as many witnesses as you can.
Yes.
To
corroborate stories.
Yes. To look at everyone's stories and see who is the oddball out. And if everyone's saying the same story, then you know that there has to be a faction of that's truth, right?
Right.
They're all saying the same story, especially if you're interviewing them at different times. Not a single person. And how many? Like 9 different people
that
he said?
Something like that. Yeah.
Crazy amount of people.
Yeah.
They didn't interview any of them.
None of them. Nope. They just took the Turner's word as gospel in this case and ran with it.
Yep.
Now, Brandon says, when you're accused of a serious crime, people assume that you're a criminal, even if you didn't do it. He says that being tall, being a big guy, being black, and maybe a little rough looking, just equals guilt.
We're now 3 weeks to trial, and Steve states that it is a really crucial day. They are going to go back to the scene and recreate the events of that night. What he did, where he was, all of it. So literally where he was standing, and go through the whole entire thing. Now, side note, the Turners no longer live at this house. They did end up moving due to this whole investigation, this case, everything. They don't live at this house anymore.
Right.
So they were able to recreate it without any sort of...
Right, without them being like, get the fuck off my lawn.
Right, right. That never happened. But the prosecution wants to see if Brandon is covering up or hiding something, so they have to get it absolutely correct. So that is why Steve is doing this. On-screen text states, the incident happened 5 doors down the street from Brandon's home. Brandon was pointing out where he was the night of this altercation. He explains where he was when he pulled his phone out to start recording. And we could even see, they showed the angle. It was the exact angle where he was.
Yeah, it was basically like right across the street.
It was crazy. It was just during the daytime. But yep. They showed the actual video and they showed where they were standing and it was like perfect. On point. He recalls seeing Mr. Turner push Mr. Keynes and how ugly the fall was. He even saw Mr. Kane hit his head on some steep steps when he was falling. And these are concrete steps, you guys. They are like the really steep ones going up.
Right.
Like in the middle of someone's yard.
Yep.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, I'd be screaming if I was someone. Like, what Ouch. The fuck, man? That had to hurt.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, when he talks about just how ugly the fall was, I mean, he's like, this was bad.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like he just, like, tripped a little bit and, like, fell down a step or two on his butt. Like, he's like, this was nasty.
And it was shocking for them to watch this.
Yeah.
Now, Steve wants to look at the camera footage while they are at the scene. So, again, they pull up the footage. They start watching it again. We hear Mr. Turner yelling, I will fuck this motherfucker up again. And this is when Brandon walks over to see if Mr. Keynes is okay. He grabs Mr. Keynes' hand, tells him who he is and if he remembers who he is, because they know each other. But Mr. Keynes is kind of out of it. He just got punched and he hit his head on some concrete stairs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and as somebody who has suffered a stroke, maybe his memory isn't that great. And it's in the dark.
Right.
I mean, just some randos walking up to you and grabbing your hand in the dark.
And I think he wanted to give Mr. Keynes a sense of peace. Like, you know me, and calm. We're friends.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I'm trying to help you here. I'm not trying to hurt you.
Right.
Meanwhile, Mr. Turner is behind him yelling and getting ready for a fight. From what it seemed like, because he was mad.
Completely confrontational.
Because someone is coming in between this altercation between him and his son-in-law. Now, Brandon takes Mr. Keynes to the stairs, lets him grab the rail, and gets him to the vehicle. Mr. Turner is still heated and needs to follow them while still acting as if he's going to start a fight. Brandon is trying to calm him down, but then Mr. Turner made a stance to show he may have been ready to punch Brandon, so he decided to punch first. So it's almost like UFC stance, like they're about ready to like punch each other.
Oh yeah, he's in a fighting stance.
He
for sure.
Showed us what stance Mr. Turner had been in. I believed every single sentence.
Oh, absolutely.
Of his statement.
Oh yeah, no, this guy had his fist cocked up. He was ready to go.
And Brandon did not skip a beat.
Nope.
He never had to think about what happened. He just stated what happened. Yep. And it was never a thought. So I can totally see that. Brandon was completely sober.
Right.
Brandon was sober. Mr. Turner was not. And who knows if Mr. Turner's family was or not.
They doubt they were. They had had a family event going on all day.
So they could have been drinking all day long, their whole family, and gotten the events mixed up. But again, police only wanted to talk to the Turner family. When Brandon punched Mr. Turner, he went down and hit his head on the side of the vehicle while going to the ground. Brandon immediately ran to his house to tell his dad what just happened.
Seriously, like, cute.
Well, and I think that just shows his age.
100%. Right?
Because most people, especially if you're going to be doing it on purpose,
you're not going to run and tell your daddy?
No, you're not. That, to me, shows his fear.
Big time.
Because he realized what he just did.
Well, and he didn't run to his friends to go, you know, brag about it.
Right. Like, he wanted to get out of that situation immediately and tell someone about it because he was scared.
Yeah.
Now Steve comes back and says he had chatted with Brandon about the hit, and Brandon admits that he never tried to hit him that hard. It just kind of happened. And again, he might not have known his own strength. He didn't seem like someone that knew how to fight.
Never.
Like, that just was not who he was. So he didn't know how hard he would actually hit someone.
No.
How would you know that?
Well, and think about your adrenaline.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to hit harder than you even
Absolutely.
Think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when you're scared in that type of situation. I can only imagine.
Yep.
Now, Brandon was a pretty big guy, so it probably doesn't take much for his punches to be powerful.
Right.
And the question remains, though, was his punch reasonable to be considered self-defense? Brennan tells us that he has been going back to church more since the incident. It helps him get through the week and not completely let this consume his whole entire life. He prays for Mr. Turner and his family, and he hopes he can continue to get better. And he's just terrified to go to prison.
He's such a nicer guy than I am.
I know.
Holy shit.
To be thinking about Mr. Turner's family, who are the ones that are pressing charges against him that could land him in prison for 20 years, and he's hoping that they're doing okay, and he's praying for them. That just has to show.
They need Jesus.
Yes, they do.
They need Jesus. But, yeah, like, that just goes to show he is a much better person than either you or I will ever be.
I would be, like, so resentful. I would feel
salty.
So much anger.
Yeah.
I would not even want to think about them because I would just be filled with anger. Whereas he's like, he feels horrible. He feels horrible for what he did. And he feels horrible for what happened to Mr. Turner. Even though he's not a great guy, he still feels bad for him. That just shows the true character of this guy and how genuine he is and how truly sorry he is. He never meant for it to end up like this.
Right, right.
Now, we get some on-screen text that states the defense wants to interview the prosecution's key witnesses. Steve explains that they wanted to try and talk to the Turners because if they didn't, then they hadn't done their job in this case.
Right.
Just like law enforcement. Did not do their job.
Follow through with all leads?
Like,
weird.
Talk to anyone besides the Turner family. And one person.
Just
a single. Yeah. I mean, that would have been better than nothing. Like, not talking to a single person outside of the Turner family. How do you think they're going to feel?
Exactly.
Come on. Of course they're going to be against Brandon. Why wouldn't they?
Right.
Like, now they have a disabled dad, a disabled husband that they now have to care for.
Salty as fuck. Because
now
that's what they're stuck
that
doing.
That is their life now.
Yep.
Ugh, I don't get it. We get some more on-screen text that states, Mr. Turner's brain damage has left him unable to care for himself. Steve and Carlisle speak privately with the Turner family for 20 minutes. They discover that Mr. Turner's condition is worse than they had thought. Steve tells us that the family gave a grim picture about Mr. Turner's condition. He still can't talk, he can't walk, he needs assistance with feeding himself, all of it. And they chatted with Patricia, Mr. Turner's wife, and she was very confrontational, as we figured she would be.
Totally.
The Turners gave an entirely different story than anyone else that they had talked to during this investigation. They maintained that Brandon hit Mr. Turner with a brick. So, literally going completely left field, not a single soul said that he had a brick. Where the hell is he getting this brick from?
He's just walking around with a brick.
Who the hell has just an extra brick to grab?
Right. Well, and where's the brick in that body cam footage? Where's the brick?
Right.
I want to see that fucking brick.
I think we would have also seen, like, a break in his skin, bleeding.
Anything. Nope. Nothing.
Not at all.
Nothing.
Not at all. I mean, we couldn't see, obviously, behind his head because, again, it was pitch black outside. And we only saw him because of the body cam and the light that was shined on him. Nothing on his face.
No.
To show anything that a brick would have hit his face. We are now 2 weeks to trial, and Steve tells us that the brick in this case is huge. The prosecution only has two witnesses, Sade Turner and Patricia Turner, Mr. Turner's daughter and wife, which I find interesting because this is his daughter who was married to Mr. Keynes.
Yeah, she's now a widow.
And she's completely sticking up for her dad when he was the one that got in a fight with her husband. It is so... It is so weird.
What if they had been in on it trying to get rid of New York?
I honestly wouldn't put it against them. It seems strange to me.
It's super fucking weird.
Why? Isn't she mad that whole reason they're in this situation is because of her dad? The whole reason.
Well, no, because he's a victim in this case, Kenzie.
Oh, my gosh.
He got hurt. He can't be held responsible for any of his actions.
Well, no, they don't want to hold anyone responsible except for Brandon.
Yep.
It's all Brandon's fault that this is the life they live now.
He just randomly showed up and just punched this guy in the face, fucked him up for the rest of his life. There was nothing that led him to do this.
Yeah.
He's just that kind of person.
Oh, they're so, so resentful and so salty. It's insane. Remember, the prosecution didn't talk to anyone else that had witnessed this altercation. Now, Steve's main goal was to talk to as many witnesses as he could to get all of their statements to ensure he could break down the state's case against Brandon. On-screen text states that the defense spends several days meeting witnesses who were not interviewed by law enforcement. We meet Jody Williams, who's one of Brandon's friends. He's asked if he had seen Mr. Turner drunk and belligerent like that before. Jody replies, quote, yes, he always got into it with people on the street when he got drunk. And he threatened to shoot one of my homeboys with his Smith & Wesson, end quote.
Sounds like a stand-up man.
Yeah.
A real family man, if I do say so myself.
Jeez. Now, we also meet Trey Boyd, who's another one of Brandon's friends who was there. And he's asked if he knew what the original argument had been about before the altercation took place with Brandon. And Trey replies, from what we had seen, they were drunk, they were having a family event, and they are known to pretty much get into altercations with their son-in-law a lot. He's then asked why Brandon went over to help and not them. And Trey responds with, quote, Brandon was pretty much the strongest out of all of us, so that's why he pretty much offered to go out and help, yeah. End quote. Totally makes sense.
I mean, he's the gentle giant of the group. He is the bouncer.
Right. Right. And I felt he needed to help. Like, he just wanted to help. He felt bad.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, he felt he needed to step in, not to be like this aggressor and be the, just because he's bigger, he needs to step in. I literally felt in his heart that he just wanted to help Mr. Cairns. Yeah. Next, we meet Cameron Boyd again, who is another friend of Brandon's. And they ask if he saw Mr. Turner push Mr. Cairns off the front porch. And he replies with yes. He's then asked if he saw Brandon hit Mr. Turner with a brick, and he replies with no. Now, Wanda Joyner comes back, Brandon's mom, and she states that Brandon was always brought up to be nice and helpful to people. We learn that she has a seizure disorder, and it almost changes who she is while she is going through them, but Brandon is always there to help her.
Yeah, he grew up around somebody with a disability.
Yeah.
He is probably more in tune with those people than maybe the average.
Well, yeah, he grew up knowing that he needed to help people.
Right.
And that's how he got into this situation, unfortunately. And she doesn't know if she'll be able to handle not having her son around. Again, I can't imagine that. I can't even, like, the thought process alone is, like, it's too stressful. I can't imagine what parents go through when their children go to prison for X amount of time, even if it's like a year, right, to 50 years, whatever it is, just the thought of them not being around is, it must be haunting.
Yeah. We're now 1 week to trial. Carlisle McNair, our private investigator, says that everyone that they spoke to has been very consistent with retelling what they saw that night. Turner approached Brandon in an aggressive manner and Brandon protected himself, period. But why didn't law enforcement put all of this together? He assumes that they got what they needed from the Turners and didn't feel the need to push it any further. He says that everything that he sees fits the self-defense of self or others that we've been kind of going after in this case.
Right.
He says the only person to say different is Patricia Turner, but you can't predict what a jury's going to say and who they're going to believe. On-screen text says that Steve has applied for a pre-trial hearing. He believes Brandon should be immune from prosecution as he acted in self-defense. Steve explains to us that if they can convince the judge that he acted in self-defense, he could dismiss this case on the spot, avoiding any prosecution.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Me neither. But I think it's awesome.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And maybe it's not for all cases. Maybe it's like certain ones. Like maybe a self-defense case is one of the only ones that you could do this for.
That's what I was thinking. When it comes to self-defense, if you can prove to a judge that that's why it happened and really prove and have the evidence, maybe it does happen.
Well, let's think about like somebody being like attacked and like maybe just happening to have a gun and being able to like shoot the person who is attacking them and they can actually prove it. Why would that person who was being attacked have to go on trial?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe it is just kind of a self-defense thing, but yeah, I have never heard of it. We're now at the immunity hearing day one. Now, Brandon Joyner tells us that what happens in the next few days could change his life and could honestly really lift this burden from his shoulders. He says that he could also go the other way and basically for the next 20 years be in prison. On-screen text says, moments before the immunity hearing begins, the prosecution makes an unexpected offer. Is it unexpected, though? Because I feel like they kind of always do this.
I think they do it because, obviously, going to trial costs a lot of money.
Yep.
Time, all that kind of stuff.
They may not win.
Yep. So a lot of people, especially in this scenario, if you're actually guilty, will take the plea.
Right.
Because they know their odds are way farther against them if they go to trial.
Right.
In Brandon's scenario, it is different. Like, they have a lot of evidence that this is fully self-defense, so much more than you'd ever see in any other case.
Right.
So, but it was expected. I mean, come on.
Sure.
They want to try and give you some sort of a plea deal.
Yeah. So we see Steve talking to Brandon about it. He says that the state is offering a plea to assault and battery in the second degree. Now, this would give him a misdemeanor. It also means that if after 5 years and no other convictions, it can be completely expunged from his record. Now, if this plea is accepted, he can go home today and be a free man. Free.
I was like, done deal. Take it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's immediately what I thought. I was like, is this really where this episode ends? And then I looked
why
and I was like,
why is there still 15 minutes?
Yeah. I was like, why are we still like halfway to the end? There's something else that's going to happen here. Because, I mean, no, he's not guilty. But the thought of spending time in prison is much worse than a misdemeanor. I know it sucks. It's not ideal. But it's a toss-up. It's risky to go to trial. It's extremely risky to go to trial.
It is. But he'd be admitting to committing this crime when he doesn't feel he did.
Right.
Now, Wanda, Brandon's mom, knows that he's very worried about the potential of going to jail. However, she does not want him to admit to something he didn't do. And Brandon looks really conflicted. Wanda is firm in her belief.
So adamant.
He will not, or should not, I should say, take this plea because he would be admitting to doing something wrong and he did nothing wrong. And she is like, you would basically be lying.
Yeah.
She is so firm.
Yes, she is.
Steve says he's not happy about the offer at all. And he honestly doesn't think that Brandon should take it either. But he can't tell him not to.
Right. Because it's not his decision.
Right. He can only advise him.
Mm-hmm.
Steve goes on to say that it would actually make him feel sick for Brandon to admit that what he did was wrong because he doesn't believe that it was. Brandon says that there is some comfort in knowing that the outcome is set in stone with the plea deal. Like, you know what you're getting.
Yep.
You get to go home tonight. On-screen text does tell us, though, that Brandon decides not to accept the plea deal and the immunity hearing will now go ahead. Steve says that, of course, there is no guarantee that the state's offer will still be there if they lose this immunity hearing, but it is something that they're going to go through with. He reminds us that a person who's acting in self-defense may meet force with force. That's under the law, and that is exactly what Brandon did. So he, again, doesn't feel that Brandon did anything wrong.
Right.
We see Patricia Turner take the stand. She says that she saw Brandon, and I quote, running down off the hill with a brick in his hand and hit my husband. He hit him with a brick and he knows he hit him with that brick. She's crying, by the way. Quote, I have no life. You took everything from me. I can't go nowhere. He can't talk. He can't walk. He can't do nothing for himself. End quote. Let me just say, that to me doesn't mean shit.
No.
I'm sorry. What your life is like now has nothing to do with what happened and why your husband is the way he is now.
I never want to victim blame, right? I don't want to.
But he's not.
She's putting on a sob story.
100%.
She feels bad for herself.
Yep.
I don't know if she really feels bad for Mr. Turner. I think she feels bad that this is the way her life has to be now because she's married to him.
Well, sorry.
You know, like, she's pissed that now she has to deal with him. You know, and take care of him 24/7.
Right.
She doesn't want to do that.
Who
all
would?
She stated and all of her frustrations was around herself. I don't get to do anything anymore. I can't go anywhere. I don't have a life anymore. Not my husband, but me. I'm mad at you.
Yep.
You know,
look what you did to me.
Exactly.
No, your husband put these actions out there in the universe.
And I'm sure she's fully aware of how her husband was. How he drank, how belligerent. Mm-hmm. She was a witness to all of his belligerent drunk acts, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and he probably outburst on her too afterwards. You know what I mean? So I don't think this was like something that, oh, I can't even believe this happened to him, blah, blah, blah. I think it's more so she's just sad that now.
Karma caught up?
Yeah, karma caught up with him, and now the consequences are hurting her.
Right.
They're not just hurting her husband, they're hurting her now.
Yeah. Well, you are who you hang with, apparently.
Exactly.
On-screen text says that the immunity hearing will conclude tomorrow after the judge has deliberated. Brandon tells us that he believes it was hard for Mrs. Turner to get up there, and she was basically just speaking her piece. Again, nicest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Who says
here
that?
Here we're like breaking her down.
Yeah.
You know?
We weren't even a part of
it. We don't even give a fuck about her. And he's like, oh, but she was really, she's had a hard time. Brandon, whose side are you on? But he does say that if the immunity trial is not accepted, then he wants to take the plea deal because it is better than trial for him. He
and not hopes, knowing the outcome.
Right, because you don't know. He does hope for this to all go through and the case to be dismissed, of course.
Mm-hmm. It's now immunity hearing day 2. Steve tells us that he hopes the judge will dismiss the case today so they can just be done with this and move on. And it all depends on how the judge felt about the testimony. The judge states that he saw that there was evidence that he acted in self-defense, but there was also evidence that he was the aggressor, so he decided to deny immunity in Brandon's case. I kind of figured that that would happen.
I mean, I did too.
Because the prosecution side of the story, I mean, you can kind of believe it for a second until you get all of the information. You can kind of see both sides of the story. So I didn't really think that this was going to go through for him.
No, not unless they had like solid video evidence of the entire right. situation kind of a thing. They didn't.
Right.
But also, I want to see that fucking brick.
Where's
the brick?
No one ever found it. It was never where.
Where's the DNA on the brick?
Nothing. There was nothing. Nothing in the road. Nothing by them.
Fucking brick.
Never happened.
It was all concrete. There were no bricks nowhere.
Right. We get some on-screen text that states the prosecution has withdrawn the plea deal. So the original plea deal he was offered is no longer on the table. So that means they have to go to trial.
And he is beside himself.
Oh my gosh. He is crying. He is wishing he would have taken the plea when it was offered. It seems like he was a little upset with his mom. Like,
oh, I'm sure he was.
Like, why did you convince me to do this? I should have just taken it and I could be going home tonight. I mean, this totally showed his age and his maturity.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like a baby crying.
Yep.
I mean, it was so heartbreaking to watch because he just looked so little. Because when you're 20, you're still little.
You're still little.
You know what I mean? I mean, you're considered an adult, but you don't really, you're not really an adult, I feel like, until you're like 25 and above.
Well, and honestly, like, he hasn't even lived on his own yet.
No.
He has no idea.
No, no. He doesn't have like a real life experience yet.
Right.
He thought he would still be able to take it after the immunity hearing, and he never thought it would have been taken off the table. Steve says that since their immunity hearing was denied and the plea deal was taken off the table, the jury trial starts immediately. There's no waiting period. So the very next day, the jury trial started.
Yeah.
And the jury will have to find the truth out of two completely different stories, one that is true and one that's false. And juries are unpredictable, and Brandon's future is in their hands. We're at trial day 1. The trial starts with the prosecution calling Sade Turner, Mr. Turner's daughter, to the stand. Again, she is the widow of Mr. Keynes, the disabled son-in-law. Now, she is asked what happened when she and Mr. Keynes were leaving. Sade responds, quote, "That's when the guy came and hit him, and then my dad fell. He wasn't doing nothing. But when he hit my dad, it was lights out. That was it." Now, it's the defense's turn to cross-examine Sade.
I love this.
It is so great. Steve asks, "You said you saw someone coming down from this position," and he was making an arm motion as if he was like coming down with a hammer.
Right, like a hammer.
Kind of over his head a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
He asks, "Was that your testimony that you saw it?" And Sade replies, quote, "That's the way I'm assuming that the young man came down and hit my father," end quote. So she said the word assuming. That's never good.
Just so you know, assuming makes an ass out of you and me.
Yes. Steve then says, quote, "So You told His Honor that you saw somebody coming overhead like this and hitting your father. That was just your, quote, assuming, end quote.
Right.
Sade replies with, quote, I don't know if my mind won't allow me to see that trauma, end quote.
What the actual fuck? I'm sorry. Are you shrinking us here on the stand, Sade?
I don't know if my brain can actually process the trauma of what I actually saw, so I'm just assuming that's what I saw, because I wasn't even there.
But they're so confident in the fact that he was hit with
because
a brick.
Because she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Like, it literally makes her sound like she doesn't know what she's talking about.
No, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
And then Steve asks her, well, were you lying to His Honor when you said you did see the slam dunk? Were you lying to this judge? End quote. And she replies with no.
We get some on-screen text that states Officer Thompson was the first on the scene. And she goes up on the stand.
Yeah.
Steve asks her, quote, Miss Patricia Turner, David Turner's wife, she says someone punched her husband one time, correct? End quote. Officer Thompson replies with, according to Miss Patricia Turner, yes. Steve says, and she never once mentioned any time a brick to you, did she? And Officer Thompson said, no, sir. So, right after it happened.
Again, no fucking brick.
No mention of the brick. That would be the first fucking thing you would say to a police officer if you actually saw that happen.
Well, and tell me that there wouldn't be blood everywhere.
Right. A fucking brick?
A brick?
Even if it was just one time in the head, that has to leave a laceration.
Bricks
of some
are
sort.
Nothing but fucking corners and edges.
Yes.
Like, you're telling, and on a round head, you're telling me that it just happened to hit perfectly where it did not break the skin in any way, shape, or form, and the guy doesn't look like he's been hit by a brick.
No way. We get some on-screen text that states, Dr. Thurston was on call at the hospital when Mr. Turner arrived. He goes on the stand and states, quote, he has no lacerations or contusions, which would be bruising, that would indicate facial trauma. He had no broken bones of his face. It would be highly unlikely that he would have a significant facial injury, and we would not have found it or documented it. End quote.
Hello. Finally. I'm Seriously. So glad they fucking talked about it.
I know. I was not thinking they were going to actually get a doctor on the stand, but how smart. Because he can actually say, like, no, I literally saw him that night and there was nothing. There wasn't even bruising.
Nothing.
Not even a bruise.
Nothing.
Set aside the cuts and, like, the bleeding. But not even a fucking bruise. Come on.
Right. No.
A brick would leave that.
His brain was just mush and it went flinging all inside of his head. Mm-hmm. And fucked him up.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what happened.
Steve says he wants the jury to hear the truth, and the only way to do that would be to hear Brandon's side of the story. As we all know, it is dangerous to do this because his testimony could actually convict him of something he didn't do.
Right.
It's very bad on cross-examination for people that are on the stand.
Yeah, you can get tongue-tied. Yep.
Yes. Now, Steve is still going to tell Brandon that it will be helpful for the jury to hear his side of the story. Again, it is Brandon's decision, but he is going to tell him, I would recommend it.
So we're on trial day two, and Brandon is scared shitless, but his mom is pushing for him to get up on the stand and to tell the truth. Just be honest, she's saying. Again, as you mentioned, defendants rarely testify in criminal trials. Again, it can incriminate them.
Yep. And you never know how it's going to go, what they're going to believe, what they're going to talk about in the jury.
What they're going to ask and how they're going to spin things.
Right.
And it can all be really, really bad for you. Another thing to take into consideration is the fact that Brandon is a young black man who got into an altercation with an older, who they call gentleman, and it could all come back to bite him, which I'm sorry. You lost the title of gentleman when you threw a disabled man down your front steps.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Not a gentleman.
And
you're
I guarantee
just a piece of shit.
It wasn't the first time he did that either.
Oh, 100% wasn't. Once on the stand, Steve ends up showing the video that Brandon had taken that night and asks him to explain to the court what it is that they're seeing. He points out the dark figures in the video as Mr. Turner beating up New York, Christopher Keynes. Steve asks, how did it make you feel to see that? And he says he felt bad for him because he knew he could barely walk. And why do this to him? Why pick on
yes,
him?
Just like I said, why?
Right. Why? Small dick energy. That's what it is. That's what it is. Brandon goes on to tell the jury as well that because he grew up with a mom who has a disability, he is extra sensitive to those around him with disabilities, and he felt that he needed to step in and help. He says that as soon as he did, Mr. Turner got into a low fighting stance and had both of his fists up. Brandon immediately punched, didn't even think about it, and he says that it happened so fast.
Yep.
And he believes that Mr. Turner would have hit him if he'd turned his back on him to try to help Mr. Keynes without the punch first because of the stance that he was. I mean, he looked like a little fighting chicken. He was like ready to go.
Yeah.
And Brandon's just like, thunk.
Yep.
I mean, like literally it was that quick.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Spencer Smith. He's the prosecuting attorney. His first question to Brandon is, how big were you on March 24th, 2017? And Brandon says, about 6'2". He says, so you would admit that he's a significantly smaller individual than you are. And Brandon's like, yeah. But he had this like skinny, strong kind of build. We all know what that means.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Those are those people that literally are just like fighters.
Like scrappies.
Scrappy. And scrappy people. They are the people at the bar that are constantly starting fights because they're like, they can't put on an ounce of weight. They have metabolisms that are faster than fuck, and they just constantly are probably small and being picked on and feel that they need to, I don't know, assert some testosterone.
For sure.
Yeah. Small man syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a thing. Look it up. He says that in that moment, he didn't try to reason with him at all. He just popped him. And I don't think I would have tried to reason with him either. He was a drunk, and you can't reason with drunk people. No.
And I honestly think that Mr. Turner would have hit him or done something to him.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Yep. Without a doubt.
And then what would have happened?
Right.
Right? What would it have been if it was the other way around? What type of case would we be looking at right now?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You just never know.
Brandon says he had tried his best to be as clear and coherent on the stand and to explain his actions that day, but he's not very good at that, so he hopes it comes across the way that it was supposed to. And he prays that the jury can see that he was up there telling the truth.
We're now on the final day of the trial, and we get some on-screen text that states, before the jury deliberates, the prosecution and the defense make their closing arguments. The prosecution states, quote, the defense argued when Brandon decided to punch Mr. Turner, it was self-defense. I mean, the discrepancy between these two individuals is incredible. You have to think about a 20-year-old guy that is 10 inches taller, 120 pounds larger, and 44 years younger punching a 64-year-old man. It's clearly not a fair fight. It was just an assault. We ask you to find that what he did that night was unlawful, that he was not acting as a hero, and that it resulted in a great violent injury. And please convict Mr. Joyner of assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature. End quote. The defense comes on with their closing arguments.
Quote, I love this, by the
way. I know. I mean, it's just, for me, it is a slam dunk. Like, it literally, they just hit it home. Quote, the discrepancy is incredible between these two individuals. Well, they're talking about size. Let's talk to you about the discrepancy in behavior. Let's talk to you about the discrepancy in demeanor. You all heard the viciousness in that man's voice. Quote, I'm gonna fuck this motherfucker up, end quote. Does he sound like a meek little old man? Brandon's meek. You saw him on the stand. He's scared the whole time. He's scared of Mr. Turner. He's a meek young man. He's a gentle giant, end quote. Steve truly believes that it's done, and hopefully the jury will believe the truth, the real truth.
Without that video, it would have gone so wrong.
I think it would have too, totally. And he personally thinks he couldn't have said anything else, and he really did his best for Brandon.
No, he did a really good job. I was like, yeah, that's exactly, like, you took the words out of my fucking mouth, Steve.
Yeah, for sure. And Steve says that they need to prepare for the worst and look at minimizing his time in prison if it does come to that. We get some on-screen text that states, after deliberating for 12 minutes...
I literally almost peed my
pants.
Our
jury arrives at a verdict.
I'm dying. 12 minutes? Like, okay, let me just put this into perspective for you guys. Remember, Wanda has a seizure disorder. She's kind of upset, and that can sometimes trigger them as well, is emotionally being upset and kind of being stressed out. to watch Brandon and his dad, Lewis, walk her out of the courtroom to go sit outside to wait for jury deliberations, and for them to only be deliberating for 12 minutes. It took her that long to get out of the building. They sit down, and they're right back up and shuffling back into the courtroom.
What I'm honestly thinking happened, they got into the deliberation room, and they took a vote.
Oh, probably, yeah.
They took a vote immediately and came to their conclusion because they all had the same vote. I don't even think they had time to look at the evidence again.
There was none, really. Right. Where's the fucking brick?
Right.
There's no brick.
Talk about any of it, right?
Nope.
Because 12 minutes, I've never heard of such a thing.
I guarantee you they all were sitting there in the box, like listening to the whole thing, looking at each other, being like,
why are we here?
You're fucking serious? You're fucking serious, right? Like, we're almost done here.
Yeah. Now, as you can imagine, we hear, when we all get back into the courtroom, quote, "We, the jury, find the defendant, Brandon Lewis Joyner, not guilty," end quote. Brandon and his family are completely elated.
Oh, my God. He breaks down.
The relief. I can only imagine that he felt like, oh, my God. Like, I'm not guilty. This can never haunt me again.
God.
Like, it's finally over. Yeah. And Steve said, you know, it's a sad situation for the Turners, but he's really happy for Brandon. And he deserved it. He deserved to go home. He's a good person and a hero in his mind. And I truly believe that, too.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful. I mean, I completely believe Brandon's story this entire episode. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind. And it was really sad to even watch him go through this.
Oh, my God. Because he was just fucking terrified.
And this Mr. Turner was a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Karma's a fucking bitch,
Karma,
man.
Karma is a bitch. And sometimes she comes in the shape of a 20-year-old gentle giant who will knock you the fuck out.
Literally.
For being a piece of shit.
Absolutely.
And that's where it ends, you guys. Like, I mean, thank God.
Yes.
Like, not guilty.
This wasn't a real surprising episode.
No.
Not like some of the other ones that were kind of unaware, but I'm glad it went the way it should.
Well, I would say, but also I wouldn't have been surprised had it gone the other way. You know what I mean?
That's true. You
because
just never
he was
know.
Just a, you know, he could have just been this like teenage thug in the neighborhood that just picked a fight with an old guy. Like, I mean, honestly, it could have been that way, and thank God it didn't.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in this week to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, we've been kind of going through these like three shows and like their different episodes because they're ones that we don't hear about.
Yeah.
And as much as we all love the, you know, JonBenet Ramsey cases.
The
and
salacious
the
ones.
Salacious ones that everybody knows about. Like, sometimes we got to hear about these ones that we don't fucking know about.
Because I feel like they're more intriguing.
We don't know
the outcome because all of these ones that we see, all these big Dateline shows
on. They're not televised, right?
Yeah. We don't ever hear about them. Like, they're just like jaw-dropping. Like, holy shit. That happened? And like the series of events in some of them, you're like,
how did we not know?
What? Like, what's happening next?
Yeah.
It just keeps things interesting. Definitely let us know if you want to hear something else, of course. But we're really enjoying doing these series.
Yeah. So our next episode is going to be back on the series The Killer Speaks. Because again, this is one that we like. This is one of my favorite ones.
I like it too.
Because we just get to hear so much from the person who actually did it.
Yes.
That never happens.
Yes.
This episode is on Dina Riley. And after meeting convicted rapist Richard Davis, their relationship turns out to be one from hell, and the two of them share the same desire for three-way sex followed by a murder. So, getting back into some murder.
Oh my gosh.
I know, this should be interesting. I can't.
This will be good, I think.
I think it's going to be good, and it's a woman.
Oh, I love those. I've seen some of those, like, the women killer
episode. Women who kill or something like
that. Yes. Those are so intriguing to me because you just don't see it as often.
No.
It's mostly
men.
But
I can totally relate.
Yes.
I totally get it.
There's been times.
Yeah. I'm like, she snapped? Fuck yeah, she snapped. You left dishes in the fucking sink.
I can relate.
I got it. In the meantime, please go out there on iTunes or wherever you're listening to us, rate and review us. We do get some reviews here and there trickling in, and it's always fun to read.
Mm-hmm.
We just got one at the end of December, and the title says, "I found my soul sisters." And I was like, oh my God. And it says, "So happy to have found your podcast. You are great, smart, and entertaining." Thank you.
So nice.
We think so too. She says, well, I guess I'm assuming it's a she. She says, we love your podcast and I feel like I have known you all my life. Looking forward to more podcasts. Cheers. And that was from user Sachamay, Sachamay. So thank you so much. And of course, she gave us 5 stars.
So appreciated. Really, really appreciated. And it's so fun. Like, it's such a surprise when we see them.
Yes.
Because we don't know.
We don't get a notification.
No.
They just randomly pop up. And I'm like,
I haven't seen this.
I'm like, if that's a new one, screenshot that and send it to Kenzie. So thank you. Of course, if you have any episodes that you want to hear or any cases that you'd like us to cover, send us an email at requests@sheercrimepodcast.com. You can join any of our social media platforms. We have our Instagram, sheer_crime_podcast. You can follow us on Twitter @sheercrimepod. We're on TikTok @sheercrimepodcast. And of course, our Facebook, Sheer Crime Podcast Discussion Group. Join us there. We're sharing stuff. We've got a lot of interaction from some of our listeners too, mm-hmm. which is really fun. And of course, we're also sharing like any crime related articles, not
Love
just
those.
Ones that have to do with the show, right? It's just like random ones that pop up. So that's always fun too.
I love updates like that because there's updates on old cases. There's updates on like new things that have been discovered or found. I love that kind of stuff. And just keeps us updated all the time because we get the notification that someone posted something. So we really appreciate it.
We really do. And as always, until next time, stay safe, stay sane, and remember, never run with scissors. Bye, guys.
See ya.